Praise the Lord and welcome to In the Light. It is a blessing and a privilege to minister God's word to you today. And we're going to be talking about trusting in the Lord. We're starting a new teaching series on trusting in the Lord. So grab your Bibles and get ready to receive words of life from heaven. Right now, Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the listeners that are listening in, Father, that you will bless their ears to hear, that you will give me utterance in the Holy Spirit, and Lord, that we will be blessed by the word of God and that it will produce signs and wonders following. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm very excited about this topic of trusting in the Lord because I know that that is essential in our walk with God. And I want to enable people, enable believers to grow in their ability to trust God, especially in the hard times. I mean, life is life. Life will throw us all challenges. Jesus told us in John 16:33 that in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world and I've given you the power to go forth, and I've deprived it of its power to harm you. But still, we know that when those things come, they can still shake us. Even though we know that that's just a part of life, there are things that can come our way if we're not already rooted and grounded and established in the Word of God that have the potential to really throw us. And so that's when the trust in the Lord and having a foundational trust in God and in His Word, that whatever He said He'll do, if He spoke, He'll bring it to pass, works in our lives. That's where we want to be. And we want to prepare before the storm comes. You know, in the book of Matthew, the word of God talks about the person that prepared his house for the storm. And when the storm came, even though it beat against the house and it raged against the house, that the house continued to stand because the foundation of that house was strong. And that foundation, in fact, was hearing and doing the word of God. And I believe that unless you purpose in your heart to be a doer of the word of God, you're not going to really be able to trust God to do what he said, because you know that you're not really doing your part, because this is a covenant relationship we have with the Lord. Once we become born again, we enter into a covenant with the Lord. And so we have our part and God has his part. God is faithful. He will always do his part, but we must now do our part. And a big part that we have to play is preparing our hearts in the Word, being rooted, grounded, and established in the principles and the promises of God, so that when the trials and tribulations of life come to us and present themselves to us, that we can arise and stand strong in the victory that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. So I'm very excited about this Word. I pray that over the next several weeks that you will be empowered and blessed in your walk with God like you've never been before, because not only are you going to hear this word, but you're going to purpose to be a doer. And the Bible says in James that blessed is he that doeth the word of God. He's blessed in his doing. It's when you do the word that you receive the benefits. So we're going to start in Psalm chapter 40, or Psalm 40 verse 4. I want to start there as our foundational text, if you will. And in Psalm 40, verse 4, the Bible says, "Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." So the Bible makes a clear declaration that when you determine and when you enter into a place of trusting in the Lord, you make the Lord your trust, your security, your strong tower, your foundation, that you are blessed. Glory be to God. And that is God's will for every man, woman, boy, and girl on the earth. We're going to see that in just a moment in Genesis. But before we go there, let's look at this verse again. It says, "Blessed is that man." So we're talking about a specific person. This is just not a general word for whosoever will. It's calling to a specific person that has taken the steps, that has taken the necessary measures to make the Lord his trust. That is the man, the Bible says, that will be blessed. What does that word blessed mean? That word blessed has several definitions, but in essence, it means for you to be empowered, for you to be on top of your circumstances and situations, instead of your situations and circumstances being on top of you. One of the definitions that I love and that I was taught early on in my walk with the Lord is to be blessed means to be empowered to prosper. In other words, you have the ability to get results. You have the ability to help others as well as yourself. You are empowered to go forth and experience the good life that God has for you when you're blessed. You're empowered to prosper. Now, think about the contrary of that. What would that be? Cursed. So when you're not walking in a place of trusting in the Lord, to a degree, you're susceptible to the curse that exists in the earth. You and of yourself are not cursed, because the Bible already tells us in Ephesians 1:3 that once you're born again, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. But I'm now referring to actually physically obtaining those blessings, drawing them out of the spiritual realm, bringing them into this natural realm where you can feel it, you can touch it, you can see it, you can smell it, you can benefit from it. Glory be to God. And so trusting in the Lord is foundational. It's key to the blessing of God in our lives. And that is God's will for you. Wherever you are today in your life, whatever circumstance you're in, whatever situations you're in, good, bad, or indifferent, God's perfect will for all men, as revealed in the beginning, is the blessing, that the empowerment of God, the anointing of God, the enablement of God in your life would cause you to flourish, to multiply, to be fruitful, to be always abounding. Glory to God. So let's turn over with that in mind and with that understanding as our foundation. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 1. We're talking about blessed, being blessed, and understanding that everything that we want in our lives, everything that we desire, every hope we have, every dream we have, every good thing that God has promised us in His Word as His children comes from the blessing. It's all wrapped up in that neat little package with the stamp on it called the blessing. And when we decide and when we make the Lord our trust and when we enter into a place of trusting God and resting in God and relying on God and putting our confidence in God and seeking God, then that blessing begins to be unwrapped and unleashed and unfolded in our lives. That is the connection, faith and trust in the Lord, in His Word, is the direct connection to the blessing as it manifests itself in healing and deliverance and prosperity and wisdom and every other thing that you could ever want in life. Now, in the beginning, God created man, as the Bible clearly teaches us in Genesis 1, we are created beings in the image of God and in His likeness. And I want to pick up in Genesis 1, beginning in verse 26. And here it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. So you see, God's original intent for man, once man was on this earth, God blessed them. And God said unto them, and this is the blessing, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." So here we see that God's purpose, His will, His design, His desire for His man, when He created man and woman in the earth, was that they be blessed. And that was, is, and will always be God's will for His people. He blessed you, and in that blessing, He tied in fruitfulness. So your life should be fruitful. It should be productive. It should be producing. It should bear fruit. And He called you to multiply. So you shouldn't be decreasing. You shouldn't be barely getting along. You should be flourishing, glory to God. You should be multiplying. You should be expanding. You should be reproducing. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the man who is planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of his God. In Psalm 92, I believe. God wants us to flourish. When you hook up with God, you just hooked up with the source of all blessing, and that causes you to flourish. Hallelujah. So he wants us to be fruitful, and contained in this blessing that God put upon his man was fruitfulness, multiplication, and the ability to replenish, reproduce. And this is even greater than, and this part that's coming up is, I think, the essential part that we have to lay hold of, particularly when we find ourselves in challenging situations where the enemy of our soul comes to challenge our covenant rights in God. And he said to the man, subdue and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So contained in that blessing is your dominion and your authority and your rights and privileges as an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. In other words, as Jesus pointed out in John 16:33, you are not in a position to have the world beat you up, stomp you down, and you just lie there and have no defense. No, you're in a position to rise up, to take authority over Satan and all of his works and all of his schemes, bind him, and go free. So all of that is wrapped in the blessing. And as you continue to read through Genesis and you can see how the Garden of Eden was and what man's original state was and God's original intent for man was, you can deduce based on that what the blessed life looks like, what the good life looks like, because the Bible says when God completed his creation, he looked over everything that he had made and he said, and he judged it as good. Glory be to God. In fact, he judged it as very good. And so that is what God wants for you and what he wants for me. He wants it to be all good in our lives. And so let's talk a little bit more about the blessing, because that, after all, is where we want to be. That's what we want to be manifesting. We are blessed in Christ Jesus, but we want to see that blessing manifest in our lives and in our situations and circumstances. So again, what does that blessing look like? Well, we know it looks like increase. We know it looks like multiplication. We know it looks like fruitfulness, the ability to reproduce, the ability to get results. We know it looks like authority and dominion and being the head and not the tail, being above only and never again beneath. And when you look at the Garden of Eden, which is God's prototype for what he wants for our lives, because man was blessed, there was no sickness in the garden. You didn't see Adam saying, Lord, I'll be right back. I need to go take a Tylenol. I got a headache. Or you didn't see, you know, the Lord having to come between Adam and Eve and referee and call a timeout because they were in a knockdown, drag out brawl. No, their marriage was peace on earth, heaven on earth. All was good. There was no sickness in the garden. There was no strife in the garden. There was no worry in the garden. There was no fear in the garden. There was no problem, no trouble, no hard labor. None of that existed. And God's greatness and in his good design for man, that was not a part of God's design. Until we get over into chapter 3. And that's when everything changed. That's when the trust that we saw demonstrated in Genesis 1 and 2 was evaded. And remember, the scripture tells us in Psalm 40 that blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. So let's go now to Genesis chapter 3 and let's begin to look and examine how a lack of trust removed Adam and Eve from the blessing, because this principle bears out in the Word of God. And you may be saying, well, I know that story, and I know how Satan came in and he took on the body of a serpent and he tricked them and he deceived them, but I don't see where they lost trust in the Lord. How can you say that? We're going to see it. We're going to see it right here in the scripture, because that is exactly what disconnected them from the blessing and instead connected them and plugged them into the curse. So in Genesis 3, verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, so now we have another set of words coming into play. God has said one thing to Adam and Eve. He's already told them that they're blessed. He's already told them who they are, what they can have, and what they can do, and what he expects from them. But now we have another voice entering to the picture. And so it says, and he, being the serpent, or Satan, said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said, again the devil's talking, unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Now that is the first recorded lie. I just have to get this in. That's the first recorded lie in scripture. Because he just sat there and totally lied and said, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now let's just stop there for a moment. Satan came in this peaceful, perfect existence was there with Adam and Eve, walking with God, fellowshipping with God, obeying God, and experiencing God's very best. They trusted God. But another voice came in. Another set of words were entered into the picture. And see, trust is critically connected to the words that you allow to enter into your heart. You know, the Bible says in John 1:1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God and His Word are one. And when you talk about trusting in the Lord and making the Lord your trust, you are at the same time talking about trusting in God's Word and making His Word your trust, because that is our medium of exchange in this physical world with the Lord. We obtain from God through His promises. Those are the medium. That's the medium He's given to us in this earth to receive all that He has given to us through Christ Jesus. And so here we see in the garden that the enemy, who understands the power of words, has come in, and now he's trying to change or disconnect Adam and Eve from the source of their trust in the Word of God by bringing another set of words. And that's why it's so critical, child of God, what words we allow to enter into our hearts, the words that we allow to dominate our thinking, that we keep close guard over our mind and over our thoughts and over the meditations of our heart, and that we judge those things that are not like God. We cast them down, as 2 Corinthians chapter 10 teaches us, and we decree them as null and void, and we overcome it, and we bring it into subjection to the Word of God. We can never allow anything to supersede the truth of God's Word reigning in our hearts and our minds, because the moment we do, we disconnect. We let the circumstance rule and reign, or we let the circumstance speak louder. We just disconnect it from what the Word of God has to say. So the Word of God has to always be the last authority, the final authority. The Bible says that let God be true and every man a liar. Now Satan just sat up here and told them a big fat lie, or told Eve a big fat lie. And this is what it did. Let's go back to verse 5. He accuses them before God. He accuses God before them. God had demonstrated His goodness to them up until this point. He'd given them a clear commandment. But in doing so, they had missed nothing. They had lacked nothing. And it was for their own good. And in due time, who knows, perhaps God might have told them and explained to them all about that tree. But God had set it so that that tree was off limits, but everything else was theirs for the taking and for the receiving. So Satan says, and the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, as soon as Satan put those words out there, a choice had to be made. Eve had to choose if she was going to believe in the goodness of God, if she was going to trust in the Lord, trust that God was who He said He was, trust that he wasn't holding out on her, that she really wasn't missing out on anything. Because the truth of the matter is, they were already gods. They were already like God. And so Satan here is accusing God before them, accusing God of holding out on them. And she took it. She took the bait. And in taking the bait, what she did was she said in her actions, God is holding out on me. There's something else out there that I haven't experienced yet. And man, this tree looks like it can make me wise. And it looks good for the eating. I'm going to have some of this. And at that moment, or really when Adam ate of it, at that moment, they disconnected from the blessing and plugged right in to the curse. Why? Because their trust in the Lord, at the moment that they chose the words of the enemy over the words of the Lord, was totally nullified. They didn't trust God. And that's how the curse came to be in the earth. Now, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. Galatians 3:13 teaches us that. But that doesn't erase the fact that there is still a curse out there. You know, so many times when bad things happen, people start pointing fingers and saying, well, where was God? How could a good God let 9/11 occur? How could a good God let Hurricane Katrina occur? Where was God when all this happened? God was right where he's always been. Where were you? Because he's given us dominion and authority in the earth. But the truth of the matter is, there is a devil. John 10:10 says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is his method of operation. That is his MO. So anytime you see destruction, death, and stealing, you can look exactly to the devil and know that he had a master hand in it. So that is what occurred. God didn't leave his throne. Why, he came that we may have life and enjoy it and have it to the full till it overflows. But the curse is out there. And when we don't properly connect to that blessing by making the Lord our trust, by trusting in God, then we open the door, unknowingly perhaps, but still we open the door to the curse. And the devil has the ability to have his way in our lives. And so that's what happened here with Adam and Eve. They were in a place of trusting God. Adam was trusting the Lord, and it was all good. He was trusting the Lord as he named all the animal species, and he gave them all their names and their characteristics. And he was trusting the Lord that he was going to be a great husband to this wife that God had brought forth out of him. He was trusting the Lord as he was tending the garden, as he was fellowshipping with the Lord. But when he succumbed to the words of the enemy and he put the words of God aside and he said in his actions, so it had to be in his heart, that there's something more to this that I'm not getting. God is holding out. And he believed the words of his wife even over the words of the Lord. That's when the disconnect happened. Why are we saying this? Why are we going over this and emphasizing this? So that we can begin to acknowledge and recognize those areas in our lives where we're allowing other words, other influences to take precedence over what God has said to us. And then we begin to wonder why we're still in these situations and circumstances that we're facing when in fact deliverance is already there. And you can switch back over. You're not doomed. If you find yourself in a place of fear or unbelief or doubt, you're not stuck. The simple anecdote is the same, the Word of God. Begin again to feed upon the Word. Begin again to make that Word first place, putting it before your eyes, getting it in your ears, getting it down in your heart, speaking it out of your mouth, and letting that dominate your thinking. And as you do that, your trust in God, your trust in his word, your trust in his ability to be everything you need him to be is going to grow, it's going to get stronger and more fervent until it totally flushes out every trace of doubt and unbelief and fear, and it shuts the door in the enemy's face where he has no place. And you are once again riding high, living the good life, living the blessed life as God always intended. You know, let's go over to Isaiah. There is a wonderful scripture in Isaiah that really paints the picture of how we are to train ourselves. You know, we are in the army of the Lord. And when you're enlisted in the armed forces, there is a training regimen that you engage in. The Bible says in Timothy that, you know, we don't just live our lives as mere civilians, because we are not mere civilians. We are in the armed forces of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's training that takes place. If you want the good life that God has made available to you, then you're going to have to work. You know, prayer is work. Believing God is work. But it's worth it, and the benefits are so worth it. You know, would you rather suffer through? It's not necessarily an easy thing all the time, depending on what you're facing, to stand on the word and believe God in tough times. And that's why God says, be courageous, be strong. It takes courage to believe God. It takes courage to live this life of faith. But you have what it takes, because the greater one lives in you. But what's harder than standing and believing God is just letting the devil roll over you with a steamroller. It's easier to stand on the word, believe God for your healing, and yeah, you may be battling symptoms, but ultimately you're going to receive your deliverance, rather than just lying back and letting the devil put every affliction and every known disease to man on you and on your family, and then suffering through that, spending half your time in the doctor's office, the other half at the pharmacy, you know, drugged till you're out of your right mind. Which is better? Which is easier? I believe standing on God's word and trusting him is a far better path. So let's go to Isaiah and let's get some more instruction as we lay a foundation here for our walk in trusting the Lord, because we are going to live in the blessing that God has given to us. We're going to be examples in these last days of the goodness of the Lord. Blessed be the name of God. God wants to show us forth as his trophies, as his centerpieces, as a advertisement to this lost world of what is available in him. So Isaiah 26, we're going to go to the 26th chapter and the third verse. I love this scripture. It centers you and it shows you the goodness of the Lord. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Why? Here's the key. Because he trusteth in thee. God will keep us in perfect peace. That literally means peace, peace. And that word peace, in its original Hebrew origin, represents wholeness. It's the word shalom, which means wholeness, nothing missing and nothing broken in your life. God wants you in that state once again that he created man to be in the beginning, in the garden, where there was nothing missing and nothing broken before the fall. And he says, I will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me, whose thoughts, whose imaginations are stayed on me. Not the words of the enemy and the lies of the devil and the circumstances and the situations. Because he trusts in me. See, when you choose to make the word of God your meditation and the word of God the final authority in your life, what you're saying very clearly is that this is what I believe. This is what I trust. This is what I'm going to hang everything on. I'm going to put it all on the line. And if God doesn't get me out and bring me through, then I'm just done. But we know that God is faithful and that he always comes through. And he can be trusted. He can be believed. He can be relied upon. You can put your confidence in him because he is good and he's faithful. And he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. And so, when you think about a life filled with peace, filled with wholeness, with everything well and working in your life, then you also must think about a life where your mind and your thoughts are centered upon God and centered upon His Word. And there, in that place of trusting in Him, He has promised once again that that blessing is going to manifest itself in perfect peace in your life and on your behalf. This is a theme that you're going to see throughout the Word of God. As you trust in the Lord, as you make the Lord your trust, you can believe it. God is going to bless you. You will be blessed. That doesn't mean, again, that you're not going to have challenges, that you're not going to have battles that you're going to have to go through in order to keep that enemy underfoot and to see those things come forth in your life. Because the devil is not going to roll over and play dead just because you trust God, just because you got born again. He's a persistent little cuss. He continues in his role of antagonizing us and challenging us. But the good news is that we have overcome him. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. This is our victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, even our believing God, even our trusting God. So we know that as long as we're trusting in the Lord, we're in the place of blessing. We're in the place where God can fully manifest himself in our lives, because without that trust and without that faith, God has no ability to move and work. Faith and trust and belief in God is his calling card to get involved in our lives and to move on our behalf. And fear and doubt and unbelief is Satan's calling card to get involved in our lives. So we have to take a strong stance against the spirit of fear. We've got to take a strong stance when thoughts of doubt and unbelief come to our mind and attack us. We must rebuke those thoughts. We don't let them linger around. We don't entertain them and toss them back and forth before we decide what we're going to do with them. No, we attack them head on, because we know that this isn't an attempt to interrupt our blessing flow, to interrupt the connection that we have with the Lord and His Word. And we can't afford that. There's too much on the line. We're believing God, we're trusting in the Lord, and we want to receive the end of our faith. We don't want it to be aborted and short-circuited as the enemy would like. But no, we're going to receive the end of our faith. And that comes as we keep our mind stayed on Him, trusting in Him, so that He in return can keep us in perfect peace. And that scripture should really minister to you and bless you. And as you do that, as you enter into that mode of training, guarding your thoughts, your words are going to follow suit. And see, your words are where the power is ultimately released. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 18:21 that the power of life and death is in the tongue. So it's what you say that ultimately you're going to have. Jesus said in Mark 11, you will have what you say. Well, we want to make sure we're saying what God has said. We want to make sure that our words are filled with trust and faith and confidence in the Lord, relying on Him to be our source, relying on Him to be our help, relying on Him to be our deliverance, relying on Him to be our prosperity, to be our healing, to be our wisdom, to be our sanctification, and whatever it is we need. And when our heart and our thoughts are in line, our words are going to follow suit. Power of God is going to be released in our situations and circumstances, and we're going to see that blessing manifest over and over again. And it all begins with trusting in the Lord. So maybe you never thought it that important that you center in on trusting God, that you take situations and circumstances out of the realm of what is possible with you, and you put them over into the limitless realm of what is possible with the Lord. Why would you want to limit your life and your capabilities to only what you can do in your limited ability? Get rid of that. Put it over in God's hands. Put it over in His realm of unlimited possibilities, where the limits are off, the brakes are off, and experience what God can do. I'm telling you, God is a worker. He is a planner. He is a manufacturer. He can do it. Whatever it is, He can get involved and He can turn things around. that you thought were totally impossible. I've had God move in my life in situations and circumstances where it just blessed me to no end to see the amazing power and grace of God at work in my life, where there was nothing in the natural that I in and of myself could do, and my human plans were futile at best. God, when I gave it to Him, when I put it all on Him, when I relied on Him and deferred to Him, the Bible says when we humble ourselves under His mighty hand, He will exalt us in due time. And He did it over and over again, and He's still doing it today. So determine now that you are going to be that man, that woman, that makes the Lord your trust. Believe God. Eat His word. Meditate in His word. Center your mind upon His word. Judge those things that are not like God and contrary to His word. Curse the voice of the enemy when it tries to come in and change your mind about what God has promised you. And stand expecting to see the blessing of the Lord manifest for you each and every time. Because it surely will.